I greet you once more in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The message we're given today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. I think this is too small. I read from there. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think that was till verse 30. Thank you very much. When I received this message from the pastor, we are supposed to reflect on the church and economic health. And I added, using life opportunities to serve God. I haven't been here for the last few months because most of the time I was traveling. And one of those trips was with 2 of the newly elected church leaders throughout all the districts of the CBCA from Uvira to Beni. And they wanted to get the church members' expectations from the new team. And the discussions were lively and very inspiring. But one thing kept touching my mind. People gave their expectations. They were very clear about what they expected from the church and from the new leaders. But nobody was paying attention to say what the church or the leaders should expect from him or her. That drew my attention. We say we are clear about what we expect from God. We are clear about what we expect from the church. But very often, we are not clear about what the church should expect from us. So when I read this parable of the talents, it is a well-known story. I know some of us could even tell it by heart from Sunday school. But today, we are invited to reflect about it more critically, about the way we use, about our commitments, and about the way we use the talents we received from God. So rather than telling you something about it, I invite each of you to think. I think at the end of this these few minutes, each should be able to ask himself the question. It's not going to end with a conclusion, but it is each of us who is going to keep reflecting and drawing conclusions about him or herself. It's about business. Although people think we shouldn't speak about business in the church, but this is clearly about business. The man is an investor. This is a businessman. And he has left his money to his servants. I read somewhere that one talent is the equivalent of 6,000 denarii, and one denarii is the equivalent of one day pay for a worker. So it means with one talent, you could be able to pay 6,000 days of work to someone. Imagine how much money it is. So sometimes when we say 5, 2, and 1, we think that it was little money, but it was a lot of money. And God has given us different talents. Some of us are politicians. Some of us are business people. Some are teachers. Some are musicians. There is nobody who can pretend that God didn't give him a talent. But there is also nobody who can pretend to have all of them. The servant here gave the talents according to his people's abilities. And in the same way, God gives us talents about our abilities. I remember a friend of mine asking me, "Why don't you, you seem not to like politics. You talk too much. I think you could be a good politician." I said, "It's not that I don't like politics, but I feel that this is not my calling. This is not my talent. So we have different roles." And I told him, "I don't hate politicians. I don't hate politics. But my role is different. I consider that you do politics and I pray for you. And we are doing the same work." So, as I was saying, God has given each of us at least a talent. The problem is at two levels. The first, and this is what we are going to speak about. First, the problem is to identify that talent. And the second one is how to use that talent. And the last one, as the church proposed, is going to see how does this business relate to church and to the gospel. So these will be the third topics I want us to reflect on today. The first one is the problem of identification of our talents. We have different talents, but very often we don't know what they are. If you see, when Jesus was feeding people, 5,000 people, he was able to just close the eyes and have bread falling from heaven. But he thought the disciples should participate in this feeding by using what they have. So he asked them, "What do you have?" And they replied, "Well, you see, we have only, there is a boy who came here with some pieces of bread, 2, 5, and 2 fish. What can we do with this?" But he said, "This is what we are going to use to feed 5,000 people." Even from the Old Testament, if you read the book of Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4, I think, you find a widow who was about to lose her children because she was not able to pay a debt left by her husband. And the question the servant asked her is, what do you have at home? And the widow starts saying, well, you see, your servant has nothing to give, and so on and so forth. But at the end, she remembered that I have only a bottle of oil at home. And the servant said, this is what we are going to use to do the miracle in your life. The question is, what is my talent? That is the question each of us has to keep asking himself and herself. And this is what God is going to use to perform the miracle in your own life, but also this is how he is going to use you to be useful in the church, not only in the church, but even in the society. If God called you as a policeman, you are not different from the one who was called as a pastor. All you need to say is, why did you call me to this profession? What is the talent? How did you see that I could be useful in this position? People use their talents differently. Even in the Bible, you have people who have been using their talents, their property, differently. We have the example of the prodigal son. He thought he should give away to people and please people until he realized that he has nothing left and nobody cared about him anymore. But there are also others who use their power and they think they are doing things properly. We have the example of Paul. He was powerful and he thought he was serving God by taking Christians to jail because he thought these are their place is in jail. So he was misusing his power, he was misusing his talent until God showed him that this is not the way you are supposed to serve me. And then God showed him how to serve him. There is even time, we consider even time. The servant in this passage gave them enough time because the verse 19 says, after a long time. So he gave them enough time to invest, to use the talents he gave them. God has given us different span of life. Some of us are lucky that we have gone beyond half a century and we are above. Others are still having 20, but this is enough. We'll account for all that time, how we used it, whether it is one day, 1 year, or 60 years, or 90 for those who are lucky to get there, we will all account for that time he gave us to use. So as I was saying, this is a serious problem. The first step is to identify the talent God has given us and see how to use it. Some have been given the talent to preach, and others have been given the talent to sweep the church. We are all using the talents in the same way. And let us see how the second step about using our talents. The first servant with 5 talents and the second one used them the same way. They invested the money and they got profit for the master. I sometimes wonder why this third servant was blamed, because actually it is not said that he stole anything. He gave back the money he was given. And I think if he used anything, he must have given all the receipts clearly. Nothing was missing. But still, he was blamed. Because investment, as I said, is business. Nobody invests for nothing. Even God invests in you expecting a profit. God doesn't. God is also, I think he's the best, good, best businessman. He doesn't invest for a loss. He invests in you, the capacities, the money, your position, your abilities, expecting a result. The question is, are you investing that money like the two first servants? Or do you have time to tell your classmates, your secretaries, your customers, if you are a businessman, your employees, do you have time to tell, to talk to them about Jesus' love? Or do you say, no, these people, they don't want people to interfere in their private life. We can talk about this on Sunday when we go to church and say, God, I didn't sin, I didn't steal, I have kept what you told me. You were saved. This is a great thing. But it is not something you are, so it's not your property. You have been saved so that you may use that investment to bear fruit. And at the end, you will have to account for it. The last thing I wanted to talk about, as I said, is church and development, which was the theme we were proposed by the church. Church and economic health, or church and development. I work, by the way, for those who don't know me, I work in the sector of church and development. I'm happy to see people from UEM here. It reminds me of my old stories because I'm also an old fox from UEM. And I receive remarks from many people saying, well, you are changing the church into business. You are focusing your attention more on development than on evangelism. Well, I may agree with some of them when I look at the way people are using the church today, and money becomes the only focus of the church. Yeah, even I, sometimes when I sing this song, Toa ili Mungu akubariki, give so that God may bless you, I totally don't agree with it. And sometimes when we are asked to sing it in some services, I fail to articulate the words properly. I think God's blessing is not a commodity for sale. It's not something we come to corrupt God with and say, look here, I've given so much. I rather sing it the different way, Toa kwa sababu Mungu alikubariki. Give because God has blessed you. I think the person who gives first, when you see this parable, the man didn't ask for what he didn't give. He invested. He gave his money. And he was asking reports about what he gave. And God cannot ask us what he didn't give us. He just asked us to use the talent he gave us. And you must not feel guilty if you don't give, if you really feel honestly that God didn't bless you. Why should you give him? You can't feel guilty. But I don't know if there is any of us who can take his book and say sit and say, this week or this year, I don't see anything God has blessed me. Anyway, God has blessed me. I don't know if that is possible. But in reality, God doesn't ask for what he didn't give. Just like the master was asking the report about what he left his servants. That is what we are going to account for. Don't compare yourself to anybody else, because he gave to each according to his ability. And that is what you are going to account for. You will not account because you didn't give. I know there are friends, brothers and sisters who work for the MONUSCO, for other organizations, and others are teachers. and we have different salaries. I can't compare my contribution to someone else because I give according to what God has given me, according to my capacity. That is the first aspect about this church and development. The second aspect is that church cannot work without development. This technology, this high technology we are using needs money. This is development. We don't want our pastors to come here with slippers on his feet. How is he going to meet the governor if he's going with a t-shirt? But the difference with our development, the difference is that our development is a tool of evangelism. We have to do development, but we understand it as a tool of evangelism. If our church development is aiming at private interests, then it is useless. But as long as it focuses on evangelism, in other words, what I do in the field of development, my question has to be, how does this contribute to evangelism? But on the other hand, evangelism, the gospel, has to take into account the welfare of people. I don't think Jesus wants us to take hungry people to heaven. Even himself was aware that at a given time, people were no longer listening to him. And he knew that they needed bread so that they can keep listening to him. That means evangelism and development are two facets of the same model, if you take the same coin, we could say. They have to go hand in hand, not one on this way and the other one on the other way. It has to be, how does development contribute to church life? How is my development going to contribute to evangelism? But also, how does the gospel help to improve my life? Do we have time to ask ourselves, how many people haven't had dinner yesterday among us? This has to be also the concern of the gospel. And that is when we are going to achieve integral mission. As we say in the mission of the CBCA, we aim to promote the human welfare at all levels, spiritual, material, intellectual. We have to cover all aspects of the human being. This is what we are called for. In short, God has given us talents, each of us. Don't think that you are still a student, you have no talent. Don't think that it is you are going to inherit the talent of your parents or whoever else. Each of us has been given some talents. We need to identify those talents, to nurture them, and to use them for the glory of God. And finally, the church and the society need our talents to achieve economic health. May God help each of us to identify his or her talents and to show him or her how to use it for the glory of his name. Amen.
Hallelujah. I felt so blessed listening to, I could see the sense of a professional talking Christian issues. Hallelujah! In some of the churches that I've passed through in the past, when somebody talked like that, they would call you Uncle Money. Uncle Money! Hallelujah! Uncle Money, God bless you a lot. I see the professionalism coming in there, in that there is a minimum rate of return that God sets